1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. If you'll turn with me, I don't intend to preach a long time this morning, but I just wanted to give us a little bit of an understanding of what Easter is really all about. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. So Paul is literally saying there is nothing more important, and if we don't have the resurrection, we don't have a center for our lives. We don't have a foundation to stand upon this morning. We may as well not have church. We may as well not talk about righteousness if there is no resurrection. But this morning I want to preach about the resurrection, because there is a resurrection coming. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth this morning. We ask you to lay your hand upon us as we consider the Word of God. Stir our hearts by the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of thanks and praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated tonight or this morning. Lord, help us. You know, there's something different about the true Christian way that's different and powerful. It is. That difference is the resurrection. Everything we do is centered around this belief and the fact of our faith that there will be a resurrection. Amen. This morning, what we're celebrating is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that he was the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, he is the example today of what is going to take place in the life and experience of the child of God. There will be a resurrection. There will be a resurrection of the wicked. There will be a resurrection of the righteous. Every one of us will stand before God at some point in our life, and we will give an account of the things that we did in this life. And so when we look at this, this understanding gives us hope in this life. Amen. This resurrection started out with a little baby in a manger. We've celebrated Christmas, and he came into this world, and there was excitement in heaven. All the angels came, and they sang about his birth, and they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Amen. And the people of God have something at the center of their very existence that will hold us up when we go to that scripture and read it again: peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Amen. We need to have peace in this world, but there will be no peace outside of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There will be no peace. Amen. There is something that will hold each and every one of us up in the time of trouble and in the time the times that are good, and that is the resurrection. Amen. We can look at the people of the Old Testament and those that made it through great troubles and difficulties. We could look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were thrown into the fiery furnace. Peter talked about fiery trials that will come our way. And there is fire that is kindled upon this world, and its desire is to devour the child of God. Amen. The trials, the fiery trials of life, the situations that come along, the dark days that I've already mentioned will come along. But there is hope this morning. There is hope for each and every one of us. And the hope that we have is in the resurrection. And the saint of God, the child of God, has hope because of the resurrection. The sinner has an opportunity to come from darkness to God's light because of the resurrection this morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, Scripture tells us, but we have hope today, and our hope is in the resurrection. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35, it says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And Hebrews chapter 11 is an exciting chapter, but it is filled with victories and it is filled with troubles. Amen. Talking about the people of old. It's talking about Abraham, who was called righteous before God because of his obedience. It talks about Isaac and how he blessed Jacob. There's some good things here in living for God, some wonderful, great things in living for God. And it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. And it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 22. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I think sometimes we look at Scripture and we say these were different people than what we are today, that somehow or another they lived in a different realm and they walked in a different realm of life. But the truth of it is, every one of the ones that we read here in Hebrews chapter 11 were people of like passion, just like you and just like me. It did not guarantee, because they gave their life to God, that everything would go smoothly all the time. It did not guarantee that there would not be a fiery trial. And we read about the victories here, but we could go behind the scenes and we could see the story of Moses there, that he was hid by his parents for 3 months. But all the other young boys in Egypt were killed. There was much weeping. There was much trouble. There was much situations that were going on. But there was one who walked up and said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to do the will of God. And they understood that this life was not everything that there is. Oh, Lord, help us. We have such a powerful force in our world today of darkness. And it tells us that we were evolved from dirt. Amen. Well, we were made from dirt, but we didn't evolve from the dirt. Amen. It's called evolution. And the problem with evolution is it discounts any God. It says there is no God, but God is nature. And nature has a way of doing this itself. But nature doesn't have a way of doing that itself. And what hope do we have if all we are is a group of molecules that have come together and we're here because of chance? I'm telling you, there is no hope. Suicide rates are rising. because people have lost hope. But I'm telling you this morning, there is hope in God. There is hope in God this morning. There is comfort in knowing that I was not an accident, amen, that it wasn't just a group of molecules that came together and here I am and I have no real purpose, I have no real meaning to life, but I'm here because of happen chance. But can I say this morning, there's not a one of us that are here by happen chance. God knew your name before you were born. Amen. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And for some of us, he probably has to count pretty regularly. Amen. Somebody smile just a little bit. And so it talks about all the good things that took place. And then it talks about those who subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, quenched the violence of the fire, and the scripture that we read in verse 35. And then in verse 36, it says, and others. Everybody said others. They don't fit into that same category of miracles and signs and wonders. We all would like to see that. We'd all like to be a part of that. But here it changes course and it says, and others. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. That's being whipped on your back. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were thrown in jail. They were stoned. That means they died because they were stoned to death. They were sawn asunder. They were cut in pieces by swords. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. That word destitute means they didn't have anything. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. They were destitute, and they wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being tormented. But look at verse 38. It says, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. I wonder what would happen in this generation of Christians if we ended up in a cave somewhere, if we ended up in a den somewhere on the earth and wandered about in deserts and in mountains and in some cases not even having any clothes to wear because of your destitute situation. But it says, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They are not worthy. Why? Because God is more important than anything else in all of this world. And it says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The only reason they made it through the trials and the tests of this life is because they always went back to the center of their existence and said, why am I here and where am I going? Amen. I preached a message here a while back, and I was playing with my grandson. I'm not going to digress, all right, about my grandson this morning. But he would kick his legs, and he would just, I mean, like he was running somewhere, laying on his back, just kicking his legs, going 90 miles an hour. And I was talking to him. I said, where are you going? Where are you going to go? Amen. What are you trying to do? And what are you going to do when you get there? Amen. So where are you going? What are you going to do when you get there? He didn't understand a word I was saying. But I'm telling you, we are all on a journey today. We're all headed somewhere in our life. And there's got to be a reason. And if the reason is just earthly things, if the reason is just material things, if it is just accomplishments, if it is just establishing a career or having material possessions, I want to tell you this morning, your car cannot provide you a resurrection. Your house cannot provide you with a resurrection. Amen. The money that we have, the wealth that we live in today, cannot provide us happiness and cannot provide us a resurrection. Amen. Give me Jesus. Amen. Just give me Jesus. And it doesn't matter what I've got to go through. He is the center. Amen. He's the center of it all, and He will see us through. Praise God. And that might mean that He will see us through in death. He may see us through in torment. He may see us through in wanderings in life, not knowing where we're going or what's going to happen when we get there. Amen. It will help us in the times of prosperity. It will help us in the good days because Solomon said, Lord, don't make me rich that I forget you. And he said, don't make me poor that I have to steal. Amen. But put me somewhere in the middle so I can live for you all the days of my life. Praise God. There's got to be a center that we live our lives around because without a center, amen, there is no real joy and peace. Praise God. And what does it come down to, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you what it comes down to is a personal experience with the resurrection. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to give you something to think about, all right? That there is a purpose that you're here. There is a reason that you are here in this life. Amen. And it is to come face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many today say the gospel is good news, and that's all it is. It is good news, but that's not the essence of what it is. The gospel is, and let me read it this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and this was a church that had much trouble, and he was writing to correct their direction, and he comes to the gospel. You say, well, how's the gospel going to help us? We're already saved. We're already Christians. Well, there's something I want to talk about for just a few minutes before we finish. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. And so he said, we receive the gospel, we stand in the gospel, and we are saved by the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And now here he gives us the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Somebody said he died. And that he was buried. Somebody said he was buried. And that he rose again. Someone said the resurrection. That's what we're celebrating this morning on Easter Sunday. We're celebrating the fact that he didn't just die and he wasn't just buried, but he came out of that tomb victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You say, well, what does that do for me? And how will that help me in my life? There's only one answer to this, and it is in the gospel. It is in the plan of salvation of death, burial, and resurrection. And Romans chapter 6, if you want to turn there with me, I'll read it for you this morning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Paul is talking about this, and he gives us a tremendous understanding and a clear pathway when it comes to the gospel. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. Amen. The old man or the old lifestyle is crucified with him. What is that really saying? What that's really saying is repentance. Repentance is turning away from the old lifestyle, from the old man, from the old sinful way, and turning toward God. We've got to die. In order for there to be a resurrection, there has to be a death. Amen. You can't have the power of the resurrection. You can't have the joy of the resurrection until, first of all, there is a death. Amen. And death is in repentance. When we are walking away from God, we are walking towards the darkness. I'll just use this as the darkness. And the further we walk, the more time goes by, we get into more and more darkness. It gets darker and darker and darker. But all of a sudden, there is a word that we hear. There is a sound that we hear, much like Samuel. Samuel, just put your own name in there. And all of a sudden, there's a voice that speaks, and we realize that we're walking in the wrong direction. And so we turn ourselves, and we'll use the other speaker as the light. It doesn't look like a light this morning, but it's the light. I'll use that as the light. Here we are. We're far, far away. We're way out in the darkness, but all of a sudden a little glimmer of light that says there's a resurrection coming. You need to get ready for it. And we turn ourselves and we begin to walk toward the light. It doesn't mean that we are at the light, but we are getting closer and closer to the light. And that turning part of our life, when we turn away from sin, is actually the definition of repentance. Repent, the word repent, metanoio in the Greek, actually means to turn. It means to change course or change direction. And so there has to be a death. We have to come to the place where we say, I'm not living this way anymore. I'm tired of being in the darkness. I'm ashamed of the sins that I've committed. I'm sorry for what I've done, and I'm turning myself toward God. That's where we are crucified with Him. Amen. It's not a beautiful thing to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you're nothing but a sinner. Amen. And you haven't done well in the areas of life and morality and righteousness. It's not a beautiful thing. Calvary was not a beautiful thing. When Jesus died, it was not a beautiful thing. It was very ugly, and it was very terrible. But we are crucified with Him. The Bible says in Romans 6:6, that afterwards we might be buried. And so Jesus died, He was buried. Verse 3, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Amen. Jesus died and He was buried. We must die in repentance, and we are buried with Him in baptism. Amen. I'll show you the scriptures that in just a moment here. And then He goes on and He said, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise God. So we don't just turn ourselves from our sins and get baptized. That's not all there is to it. There is a resurrection that takes place. Praise God. And that's where the power of God comes into your life, and it changes you so that you will not be servant to sin anymore, but we will be a servant to righteousness. Acts chapter 2. No, let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And here is the power of the resurrection. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. You shall receive power, power to live for God, power to continue. Once we turn from our sin, we are baptized in Jesus' name, and we start to walk with God. It is the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, will get you through anything that you face. Amen? Amen. How many's ever experienced that? Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here's where the resurrection power took hold of the people there and will take hold of you and I. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. Thank God this morning for a resurrection. Praise God. Do we have any music here this morning? All right, let's go ahead and go that direction. Praise God. I'm telling you, this New Testament church was excited because of the resurrection. The sinners saw it when Jesus rose from the dead, and the Bible says they fell down as dead men. These were soldiers. These were men that were in battle, and they fell down as though they were dead. An angel came and pushed the stone away. It was exciting. It was powerful. It was victorious. There was something about the resurrection that made a huge difference in the lives of the apostles. But even after the resurrection, they didn't have the power to live for God until the Holy Ghost came down and filled them to the uttermost. Great things were done by the apostles, but the greatest thing that they ever experienced in their life, would you come please, Sister Reed? The greatest thing that they ever did in their life, or that God did for them, was not when Peter walked down the road and his shadow healed people. It was not when the whole city of Samaria was converted to the truth. It wasn't in any of those healings like the healing at the temple at the hour of prayer and the lame man was healed. That wasn't the greatest thing that the Holy Ghost did for them, that the resurrection did for them. The greatest thing that the Holy Ghost did for them was it changed their life. From a man who denied the Lord 3 times, if you're here this morning and you feel like you've failed God, I'm telling you this morning, the power of the resurrection is enough. I said it's enough this morning to lift you back up again. That's what the word resurrection means, is to stand up again. The righteous will fall 7 times, but he stands back up again. And there's a reason we stand back up again. It's because of the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the power of the resurrection. Let's stand together this morning, can we? Praise God. And you may not feel it this morning, but I've got a feeling that there's some here this morning that are feeling it. The resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. And when you come to the house of God, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. When you feel God, when God speaks your name, listen. Just listen and say, "Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. I want to hear what you have to say." Praise God. And he will lift you up, and he will strengthen you, and he will help you. Praise God. That's who he is, and that's what he does. But it all comes through the resurrection. I'm thankful today for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just in the resurrection, it was in the death. The death of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when He died on that cross, that all of your sins were nailed to that cross. It was nailed there by God. And in fact, the Bible says that when He hung on that cross, He became sin for us. He took on your sins. He took on your lies and your cheating and your stealing and all the ungodly things that anybody could ever do. He took that upon Himself as one who had never experienced sin. He didn't know anything about sin. But He took on your sins and my sins. And then when it was accomplished and He said, "It is finished," He gave up the ghost and they buried Him in the tomb. I've been to Jerusalem and I've been to the place where I really feel like it was the burial place of Jesus. It was a rich man's tomb, and not far from there is the place of the skull. It's a hill right there, and it looks like a skull. It's got two little indentions. It literally looks like the place of the skull. And they buried Him, but the death and the burial is not enough. There had to be a resurrection. Because when He resurrected, all of those sins stayed down in the grave. When we die in repentance, Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38, when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's it right there. And I say that's it. That is tremendous. It's life-changing. It's powerful. Let's pray together this morning, can we? Help us this morning, Lord. Touch us this morning, Father. We lean on You. God, we need You more than anything in this life. We need Your touch this morning. We need Your anointing this morning. In Jesus' name.